and welcome to NWR Newscast, episode 19 for June 2nd, 2010. This week we have a slightly different cast. Neil is out, so sitting in his place is Jonathan Metz.
Hello.
And of course, back as always is Zach Miller. What's up, Zach?
Oh, not a lot. Just back from Wisconsin, and boy, is it colder here.
What's summer like in Alaska, exactly?
It is a balmy 65.
And the sun never goes down.
Oh, yeah. They're, you know, this is an interesting story. During the summer solstice every year, the Anchorage Aces, who are a baseball team, they start a game at midnight and see how long they can go until the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
The sun does go down in Anchorage every day, but up in Fairbanks, it'll stay up.
That's got to drive you crazy. I suppose if you get used to it after a while.
Yeah, it's hard to sleep. But
I hate it. Oh, wow. It does make, you know, it makes it really hard to sleep. Although we have, double honeycombed blinds, so that helps a little.
Yeah, well, I used to study abroad I once studied abroad in St. Petersburg, Russia, and they have the same thing. They're on the Arctic Circle, and I was there during the summer, so we got the 2-3 weeks where the sun basically never goes down. I mean, it kind of dips at about 3 a.m., and it kind of dips down, and then you can watch it go right back up, and it never hits the horizon. It does get darker. It kind of goes twilight for like an hour, basically. But there was one night when I stayed up all night and we kind of watched this whole thing go down, and it really messes with your biological clock. I mean, you'll be out, like you'll go to a movie and then you'll go get some drinks and it'll be like 1:30 and you're like, oh man, I've got class at 8 a.m. I got to get home. I got to get to sleep. I don't feel sleepy, but I got to. And, I mean, I remember going to the beach and you got people out there sunbathing at like 2:30 in the morning. It's strange.
Like you wake up earlier too, because the sun's up all the time.
Yep.
I kind of got to feel like if I was actually there witnessing this, I would kind of get the deep rooted feeling that the world was coming to an end. I can't even fathom like
it happens every year.
It does. Yep. It does.
So this week on the newscast, we have the usual lineup. We got some news stories. We'll talk about what we've been reviewing. We'll look at the weekly downloads for the past couple of weeks and the weekly releases. Kind of a light show this week. There hasn't been a lot of news. With E3 around the corner, it does kind of seem like most of the news outlets are kind of on lockdown. Not a lot to talk about until everything comes out at once in 2 weeks. We haven't quite decided what the NWR podcast lineup is going to be like the week of E3. Originally, we were planning on doing a newscast the week of E3 like we would normally have it scheduled, but it does kind of seem silly when there's going to be episodes of RFN pretty much daily while the crew is at E3. So we're going
to
see if maybe
we can figure out some sort of
drunk cast, Johnny.
Probably.
Don't hold me to that.
Historically, during events, there's been podcasts at least once or twice.
Yeah, a couple years ago, we recorded one from the first power outlet we could find on the USC campus.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it'd be kind of cool.
Free Wi-Fi.
I think it would be kind of cool if we could do some sort of an on location podcast with Zach and I at the home team, so to speak, and the E3 crew out in the field. But that may be a little more than we can ask for with as busy as those guys will be. But we'll see what happens. Anyway,
it'll just be an hour of you and me groaning about how we're not there, Andy.
You're probably right. Man, I wish I was there.
Neil got to play Metroid, that bastard.
Neil put an hour into Shantae. Screw you, Zach.
it could be like an hour long now playing. You know,
basically. No kidding. All right, so let's start with the top stories this week. So the first story up this week, the DSi and the DSi LL in Japan are dropping in price beginning June 19th. The DSi dropping from 18,900 yen, which is about $207, to 15,000 yen, which is about $164. And the LL, or the XL, the big one, is dropping from 20,000 yen, which is about $219, to 18,000 yen, which is about $197. Still a bit too much, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
That, They're actually doing something interesting with the DS Lite, which is currently retailing for the American equivalent of $184 or 16,800 yen. They're going to allow retailers to just basically price it as they choose, which is apparently something they did with the GameCube, sort of in late 05 before the Wii barrage hit. I'm kind of curious to see what kind of prices that's going to generate.
Yeah, it's gonna go to it's gonna be a race to the bottom.
It really, really is.
Because
with two more SKUs above it, it just seems silly to.
Right. Yeah. And the wholesale price of a DS in Japan has got to be, what, you know, 10,000 yen? Something like that?
Yeah.
Is that 10,000 yen? Is that right? About $100.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, if not less. So I'm sure there's plenty of room for retailers to slash their prices on that and still make a profit because, you know, they want to sell volume. Because DSLs have been going down for a while, and
they want to sell software too, and they'll sell software with every DS Lite out the door,
like they'll
sell software with the XL and the DSi. They're actually dropping in some new colors on the XL as well. They're doing a blue, a yellow, and a green. Looks kind of like a primary color deal, but yeah, I don't know. I think this is still too much, but. I guess I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to continue to fall once the 3DS enters the picture.
Well,
it seems to me it's got to keep going down.
I mean, Andy, you say it's still too much, but you have to realize those prices are hiked up in Japan compared to what we pay in America because of conversion
rates.
This
is true.
This is equivalent to, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, although it seems something like this will likely happen, but it's equivalent to Nintendo of America dropping the DSi XL price, say, from $190 down to about $170 or $160. It's a pretty big drop.
Yeah.
And
well, I guess I'm still out kind of the belief that the DSi itself, let alone the DSi XL, is priced too high. And I know the sales don't really bear out my theory. But
oh, I
considering
completely agree.
Considering what the DSi is, which is basically the DS Lite minus a cartridge slot, but plus a little bit of internal storage
and camera.
A newer firmware.
Yeah.
And the camera, I guess, which may or may not have value. I feel like the DSi in general is really overpriced. I'm sure it sells just fine. They're not coming to me for financial advice, clearly.
I think the DSi was to keep kids from getting an iPhone.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true.
That's why it has I in the name.
That's a fair point.
Oh, yeah.
And the 3DS has 3 in the name, just like the iPhone 3G.
Do you think these Japanese price drops suggest that the 3DS is coming sooner than we think in Japan?
Seems likely. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it does kind of seem like that.
I do think the weird thing here is that Nintendo in Japan would announce a price drop more than 2 weeks before they're going to actually do it. So, I mean, if their weekly sales for DS are already weak, they're going to be abysmal for the next 2 weeks because everybody's just going to sit around and wait for the price drop.
Yeah.
That's why you have to roll out price drops immediately. You know?
Yeah, I would agree. Maybe their stock is low for 2 weeks and they know that. Hard to say.
Yeah.
Next up on the top stories, we have our first 3DS game confirmed. It's from publisher or developer No, which is spelled with like 7 N's or something ridiculous. It's called Spirit Hunter, and it's very similar to a game that's already been released on DSiWare called System Flaw.
Basically,
the idea is that you pivot your DSi around, and the camera takes pictures of what you can see and occasionally inputs something in the picture. Like, I guess Spirit Hunter, the idea is you're looking for ghosts, and it'll overlay it over what the camera is already captured. Although I'm not really sure exactly how this differs from System Flaw, because it seems pretty similar to me.
Isn't there also one called Ghostwire that's the same thing yet again?
Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe I'm mixing up System Flaw and Ghostwire. I know that they're all pretty similar.
Well, I
though.
Think
they all use the camera.
The same game.
They use the camera and they overlay gameplay on top of your living room, so to speak.
So now we know the 3DS is going to have the two cameras if it works the same way. So
exactly.
Sounds like it's going to be a DS with three 3D toggle switch.
They pretty much said in the news story that I read. I don't think we've actually put this on the site yet. We really should do that pretty quick here. I don't think I think I read it in the story that it, they're going to have a DSi version of it as well. So
right, it's they're a game still that supporting DSi because that's where they originally announced it, I guess.
Which this kind of goes to the lend credence to the theory that you'll be able to download DSiWare. I mean, they've already said you can download DSiWare on the 3DS, correct?
Well, no, they haven't said as much. What they've said is that 3DS will be fully compatible, whatever fully means, will be fully compatible with Nintendo DS and DSi. So it'll play the cartridges. I think we can take that for granted. As for whether it will play the download games and whether you'll be able to download DSi games onto your 3DS, that's not confirmed, although I think they would be insane not to do that. But
well, I agree.
In a year and a half after the 3DS launches, they'll come out with the 3DSi that will remove the backwards compatibility with the DS games.
Well, they may very well do that eventually. But, I mean, you know, Game Boy Micro removed backwards compatibility with Game Boy and Game Boy Color games. So it's a pattern. It happens.
I'm just kind of curious. If they bring out another handheld that supports DSiWare, which seems, you know, like you said, seems pretty much a given, they're going to run into the first instance they've really had of people upgrading to a new system and not being able to transfer their games over. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of curious if they'll respond to that at all or if they'll just let it slide. I kind of think they're going to let it slide, and I really hope they don't.
No, they've got to deal with that, you know.
You know, maybe Shantae will be a 3DSiWare game.
It's on track for that release.
Yeah, it is.
Like. Every week they delay it, it gets a little closer to looking a little more three-dimensional, huh?
It'll be so awesome when it doesn't get here.
It'll be the top story of that week that it gets canceled, I promise you.
Zach, have you actually played the original Shantae?
I have it by illegitimate means, but yes, and it's a great game.
Okay. I've never played it. I've always wanted to. I've never seen a copy of it.
Metroid. It's kind of like Metroid. A very open world, you know, with heart tanks and or heart
Don't
containers.
Don't talk dirty
and,
to me.
Oh, yeah. You know you want it.
I actually hadn't even heard of it until they announced the sequel, so I need to track it down one of these days.
It was like the last game that released on the Game Boy Color and had an unbelievably low production run.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we got for top stories. There's really not that much going on here. We do have a number of quick hits, and I'll kind of run down them real quick. Nintendo and the American Heart Association have launched a new website called ActivePlayNow.com, and they sort of teamed up to just sort of have the American Heart Association endorse like Wii Fit, and I think Wii Sports Resort maybe too, maybe Wii Fit Plus. Maybe I'm mistaken in thinking it's Wii Sports. But this is just sort of, it seems like a natural extension of Nintendo sort of moving into the XR gamer, so to speak, space.
Yeah, when we got wind of the fact that there would be some kind of announcement with the American Heart Association, everybody said, oh, it's the vitality sensor.
Right.
And I was looking forward to that because I was like, good, let's get that shit out of the way before E3 so they can focus on real games at E3. And unfortunately, they're saving it for E3 after all. So
it sounds like it's like a branding thing. It's just another way for them to. Mm-hmm. It's like a tick on a box. Now they can put the AHA logo on the back of the next Wii.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's nothing. Nothing to see here, folks.
At E3, they'll show off like Wii Fit 2, which will use the Motion Plus, Vitality Sensor, and Balance Board.
Yep. And it's AHA approved. It just really confirms more than anything else the clear direction that they want to move in going forward with some of their core demographic. Not their core demographic, but their new demographic, I should say. Yeah. They want to be known as the gaming company that makes games that are good for you.
Yeah.
Why not take a break and eat a bowl of Cheerios?
Why not fix a sandwich? Next up, Rock Band 3. This is not really a story that's Nintendo-specific necessarily because it hasn't been announced officially one way or the other. But on Xbox Live, the Green Day Rock Band demo launched. And one of the interesting things about that, one of the few interesting things about that, if you ask me, is that at the end of the demo, they showed a Rock Band 3 logo, and the logo is the same as the Rock Band 2 logo with the little circles for the instruments, except for it's got one more little circle, and that circle shows a keyboard.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's going to be a guitar or a keyboard. Have they said one way or the other? I don't
know.
No,
they
commented at all.
They haven't said anything about it, but the rumor out of, I think, Ars Technica, the rumor is that it could actually be a guitar, not a sit-down keyboard.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
I mean, yeah, like my first reaction was, what? Because a guitar is such a cheeky instrument. It was just straight out of the 80s, you know. It's so corny looking.
It doesn't apply to the vast majority of the Rock Band library as well.
Well, no, not the current library, but it's not about adding an instrument so you can play your old songs in a different way.
Sure.
It's about giving them justification to release new songs. And I think, you know, there are tons and tons and tons of rock songs that would be a lot of fun to play that involve keyboard. And I'm generally really happy about this. I've been wanting this for a while because it pushes, I hope it will push the music library in a direction that's a little more in tune with the kind of music I like, which is like away from heavy metal.
Yes.
And more into, you know, prog rock, modern rock, classic rock, etc. So anything with a keyboard, and it'll be really interesting. I have a feeling that now this is one of my bold E3 predictions here. I have a feeling that whatever the controller is, whether it's a keyboard or a guitar, which are really the same thing, it's just a different form factor.
Yeah.
I mean, the guitar makes sense in that it feels a little more active because you're standing up, it has a strap on it, and you kind of you're using both hands, but you're not using both hands to hit piano keys. You're using one hand to kind of operate a slider tapping mechanism to make the note sound, and the other one is using probably about one octave of piano keys. So it's a little easier to manage than putting like a wide row of piano keys in front of you and making you use both hands. So that makes sense. But my prediction is that whatever controller they release will be basically a fully functional real instrument that you can plug into an amp. I mean, if you think about keyboards, they're pretty much game controllers already. I mean, they're electronic. They're very simple. They're solid state. They're lightweight. So it's really a matter of making one cheaply enough to pack in with a game, which I think is no problem. And so if they can do that, then there's really not any reason for it to be unique to the gaming platform that you've got it on. It should just be something that you can, you know, it should just have an extra port where you can just plug an amp into it.
Well,
sure,
I think they did something like
that. A keyboard
like
is a keyboard.
They did something like that with the Super Special Edition of DJ Hero, didn't they? Where if you could you could buy some super expensive DJ turntable that worked on its own, being used in DJ Hero. Maybe I'm wrong.
DJ Hero is pretty far removed from an actual DJ setup, but I mean the precedent for this is their Ion drum kit that they did for Rock Band 2, the $300 drums.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, you can buy a drum brain for that and turn it into an electronic drum kit. But first off, not that many people are good enough at drums to want to do that, and the drum brain itself costs a few hundred dollars extra. So it's not – I'm sure not that many people took advantage of that. And you have to buy a $300 drum kit to start with to even have that option. But, I mean, Harmonix has talked about wanting to get more people – playing real music and being able to bridge the gap between playing Rock Band and playing real instruments. The keyboard is the ultimate way to do that because it's basically a game controller already. There's no difference between a keyboard and a game controller keyboard.
One of the interesting things to me is that the Rock Band platform, so to speak, has always sort of been about being a platform, more so than Guitar Hero, because most of the Rock Band games allow you to bring the content together to be playable on one disc.
Except
the Beatles, I think. Does Green Day?
I think so. Of them do.
Very good.
Yeah.
So my question is, if they bring a keyboard into the mix, is there going to be any effort whatsoever to make that new instrument usable on your backlog? There are a lot of games already existing on the Rock Band library that a keyboard would be fantastic on.
Yeah, but recode those. I mean, you have to resequence them. So I don't think they're going to do that for free. If it's a keytar especially, there might be a way to use the keytar instead of a guitar.
Sure.
But I think it would just be remapping the buttons. But in terms of adding keyboard parts to songs that are already on the platform, don't hold your breath for that.
No. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next story.
Quick
Sonic
hit. The
Colors.
Next quick hit.
Yeah, the next quick hit. Sonic Colors has been announced for Wii and DS. This is a new Sonic game for Wii and DS, taking place in outer space, an outer space theme park, if I'm not mistaken. Wow, I just could not really care less about a new Sonic game at this point, but I'm
well,
sure
Sonic
it's got
4.
An audience.
Sonic 4 is going to be good.
Yeah, and that's actually been delayed until fall, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
But Sonic Colors is, I believe I heard that it was sort of in the same vein as Sonic and the Black Knight and Sonic and the Secret Rings or whatever those games were. And if that's the case, it'd actually be... I'm not sure if that's exactly true or not, but if it is, they'd be the first ones of that sort of lineup to be released on DS, because the DS Sonic games have pretty much stuck to the side-scrolling, and I don't think those previously mentioned games were necessarily side-scrolling games, although I've only played Sonic and the Secret Rings for the duration of the tutorial, so I'm not the authority on that. But
well, the last Sonic for DS was Sonic Rush Adventure. And both of the Sonic Rush games were developed by Dimps, and they also made all the Sonic Advance games.
Those are pretty good games.
Yeah, and Dimps is making the DS version of Sonic Colors. So, and apparently Sonic Team is doing the Wii version. So,
oh no,
I think it's pretty safe to expect that the DS version is the one to get here.
Sonic and
Fantastic.
His bullshit friends go to some,
and it'll
space
be the cheaper one to get as well.
Coaster.
So yeah, if you've been itching for more Sonic the Hedgehog, then you may have a disease. You should see a doctor. but the next installment is around the corner. So feel free to hold your breath. Next up, we have a new Final Fantasy game coming out for DS. This is actually an original title, if I'm not mistaken. Final Fantasy: The Four Heroes of Light, which was released last October in Japan. Sort of a classic RPG, if I'm not mistaken.
Excite. Yeah, it's a new Final Fantasy done in the style of the original Final Fantasy, except on DS with 3D graphics.
Oh, that'd be nice.
It uses the same engine, I believe, as the Final Fantasy 4 and 5 remakes.
Yeah.
Or 3 and 4 remakes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that should be pretty cool. I guess it sold incredibly well in Japan, go figure. So, of course, they're going to bring it to the States. So I actually haven't played much of the DS Final Fantasy games. I played a little bit of 4, but a new one could be kind of exciting. I'm going to have to check this out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The art style is really nice, too. The art style is different from 3 and 4.
I have a Final Fantasy question.
Shoot.
Each Final Fantasy, numbered Final Fantasy, is kind of its own enclosed universe, right?
Correct.
Okay, and 7 has all those bullshit metagames. And
I think a lot of them from 7 forward have bullshit metagames.
And
but
4
continue.
Has the after years, right?
Yeah.
Or is that... Okay.
Yes.
So does this 4 Heroes of Light, does it have any ties to any previous Final Fantasy game?
I don't
In
think
the same
so.
Way? No?
I think it's...
It sounds like, just based on the subtitle itself, it sounds like maybe a reimagining of the first one.
Yeah, but it's at best a very, very loose reimagining.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. It's not... I know it was not packaged as a remake at all.
And it's not a Crystal Chronicles kind of thing either.
No.
Cool. Then I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
It's sort of the closest thing we've had to an original mainline Final Fantasy game on a Nintendo platform since...
6.
Since a long time ago. It's not necessarily a mainline game, because the mainline games are, 14, 15, whatever, but it's pretty close. It's awfully close.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really like the games recently that have been going back to the old school, like Mega Man 9, 10, Final Fantasy, the After Years, even though I didn't play
it's
that.
It's a trend, I'm telling
I like
you.
The,
it's,
yeah, I know, you and I have talked about this, but I... You know, it'd be kind of nice if the Four Heroes wasn't 3D, but it was 2D and in the same kind of graphical vein as the old, Super Nintendo Final Fantasy games.
I kind of feel like maybe the idea of a NES-style Final Fantasy game in anything more than, like,
virtual console
general style anywhere. would not hold up nearly as well as you're thinking. Like, the Mega Man gameplay still holds up really, really well. I don't know that the Final Fantasy NES gameplay necessarily holds up really
Quest.
All that well.
Why do you
yeah,
quest?
Exactly. That's where I stopped playing retro game.
That's panels. That's a lot more. Really? Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it is. That's where I hit the wall.
I love Guardia Quest, but it's a lot more like Dragon Quest than Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it really is. It really, really is. Yeah. Final Fantasy plays a lot nicer than Dragon Quest does. The original ones.
Well, it's more elegant. I would
sure.
say. It's a little
it
more.
It doesn't
comp-
give you a
sub menu
for every little thing.
Yeah, it's more elegant. It's a little more complex in terms of the statistics going on.
It's a lot more user friendly though. You're not you hit like there's an A button and that pretty much it's context sensitive, from what I remember. Instead of giving you like a stare menu, or like a stare option in the menu, like you don't have to look at every little thing in the menu. It seemed a little easier to pick up and play, but it's also been a long time since I've tried. So
it's true, but I mean Final Fantasy was also made 2 or 3 years after the original Dragon Quest.
This is true. This is
so
true.
It's a more modern game.
I'd like to go back and play some of those old RPGs.
Well, on the virtual console.
Final Fantasy is Dragon Quest is not, oddly enough.
Ah, that is kind of weird.
It would be called Dragon Warrior, but still.
I have my old Dragon Warrior 1 and 2 Game Boy Color cards sitting around somewhere. I should dig that up.
That is a gem, sir.
It is.
I got my copy of Dragon Warrior free with my subscription to Nintendo Power.
That's
back
right.
In like
back
1987.
In
that was nice. That was quite the promotion. I'm surprised looking back that they ever did that, but they must have had a large stock of that game to get rid of.
Can you imagine if they gave away an RPG with Club Nintendo?
Yeah, whoa. No kidding. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to another RPG. Fire Emblem has been announced. This is a remake of the Super NES version. I think the first Super NES version, which was something of a sequel to the... Well, it was a sequel to the NES game that came before it. So this is sort of a sequel to the last DS Fire Emblem, which came previously, which was a remake of the NES version.
I'm confused.
Now I'm just confused.
If that's not too convoluted, I don't know what it is. They remade the NES version of Fire Emblem, I think, last year on DS. Now they're making remaking its sequel, which was originally a Super NES game.
Oh, okay.
But it's hitting the DS. I'm not sure when exactly. I probably should know this, but it's hitting DS later, probably next year, or maybe later this year in Japan, maybe next year in the States. But
I've never played a Fire Emblem game.
I tried to play the original on Game Boy, and I liked it, but I'm not suited for its gameplay. I don't like permanent death in a game because it just makes me replay the same mission over and over again until I get it perfect. It's a game for perfectionists. Let's put it that way.
Hmm.
And I am not.
I've never really delved into them. I mean, it's a game I would probably like, but I've just never gotten around to it.
They're very well made for what they are. Like, they're really, really well made strategy games, but the permanent death is a real turnoff for me. Just because, I mean, if you do one little thing wrong, and those missions get really hard after a while, too, but if you do one little thing wrong, you're really tempted to just, you know, trash it and restart your save file because you don't want to lose a character that could be instrumental later on. Every little mistake could be very, very costly.
I remember TYP saying something about that on the Radio Trivia podcast.
Yeah,
they're great games, but I have never had the patience to get through all the way through any of them. Last up on the quick hits, we have EA Sports announcing a new NHL game for the Wii. NHL Slapshot, which is actually coming with a plastic peripheral, which is, I think, you know, shocking. The peripheral actually houses both the remote and the nunchuck, which is supposed to do a little more for sensing the movement of the stick. I'm not sure if it gives you access to move the analog stick on the nunchuck. It seems like it almost kind of have to, right? Because otherwise,
how are you moving?
You're not moving your character. Otherwise, it becomes the Wii Sports Tennis of hockey games.
yes. It'll be a guided first-person hockey game.
Experience.
Yeah.
But I think prior to this, this is the first hockey game that EA's made on the Wii. Previously, it's been pretty much open season for NHL 2K. 2K, you know, 10 or whatever.
And the last 2K game used supported Motion Plus, and I heard the controls were really good on it. I don't play hockey games or hockey. But
The next 2K game is actually exclusive to Wii, because I believe they're going to take the year off on the HD system
and sort of reevaluate.
Yeah, they're going to reevaluate their sort of their business model on the 360 and the PS3, but meanwhile, the Wii version's actually doing pretty well for itself. So
it's going to be a throwdown.
So I guess it'll have a little more competition.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's supposed to be a realistic hockey game, though, this new Slapshot. Like, they didn't really show a whole lot of art from what I could tell. Like, one of the screenshots they did show made the hockey players look kind of like kids, but not in like a super deformed kind of way, just sort of like this is a mode you can enable where the hockey players are kids. So I'm not really sure exactly what they're going for with this one.
Backyard hockey.
There you go.
Yeah. Finally, a wacky sports game on Wii. The market's been ripe. That's all we got for news up on this episode of NWR Newscast. Let's move on to our next segment, which is What You're Reviewing. And since Johnny ain't reviewing nothing, it's just going to be Zach and I. And I barely count, because what I got to say ain't much. So let's go ahead and kick it off with Zach, who has been reviewing Dementium 2.
Yeah, it's fun. I actually just turned in my review. I played it the whole time I was in Wisconsin, and
I'm almost done editing your review.
That's right, you're editing it, that's right. Don't take my pro tips out, because the readers will need those.
Okay.
It's really a very good game. It's a vast improvement on the original game, but it still has its own little issues, like boss fights last way too frickin' long, even though you're pumping them full of bullets. Especially the last boss, like, you can shoot him with all the ammo you've collected up until that point, and he'll be about half damage, or half dead. So then you're forced to use your weak ass boomerang on him.
Boomerang.
You have a boomerang, yeah. And then the first boss, I hate this. The first boss is this huge menacing monster, and you have a knife. And you stab him for 20 minutes. but you have to run around and chase him because he's scared of your knife. So you run around and stab him for 20 minutes. And, you know, you'd think while you're in this fight, God, I must have missed the gun. No, but your reward for beating him is a gun. A little handgun. So there's some issues with that. But it's otherwise a very good game. It looks great. I think I said in my review, I think it looks like a low-resolution Nintendo 64 shooter. The sounds are really good. The music's not great at all, but the sound's really good.
It's kind of a survival horror deal, right?
It is survival horror, and I was playing it more like an action game when I should have been playing it like a survival horror game. I should not have been shooting anything. But if you liked Moon, which is these guys' last first-person shooter, I mean, you'll love Dementium 2. It's very good. Very good game. I recommend it if you play it the right way. And if you want to know how to play it the right way, you can read about it in the review that will be posted to the site. Don't shoot things unless you have to. Let's put it that way.
If you have to read a review of the game before you play it to know how to play it, I kind of feel like it might be a failing on the part of the game developer.
It is a little bit. You know, there are kill rooms, and they want you to conserve ammo.
Yeah, it seems a little counterproductive. I haven't played really any first-person shooters on the DS except for like the Metroid demo that came with the DS.
That is not a good way to get introduced to it. I don't even think Metroid Prime Hunters is a great way to be introduced to first-person shooter genre on the DS.
It had awesome online features.
Okay, yes, it did. It did, but the single player is kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
How long is Dementium? How long of a game is it?
The first time I trudged through it, it was 7 hours, and then the second time was maybe five, because I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, like, with the 3D textures, exactly how much content they can really put on one of those DS cards, but
I do wonder
7 hours
that,
is about right.
Yeah.
Is there any multiplayer at all?
No, there's a survival mode where you survive waves of enemies.
Survive, sure.
But that's really not my kind of game. I really hate survival modes in games. I just think they're wimpy or cheap cop-outs.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a single-player game, then you're done with it, and And it's you know, it's the kind of game that you keep around because you'll be like, look at what the DS can do to your friends.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so past that point, though.
I know.
Does it cramp your hand while you play? Because that was always beef with yeah.
Any first-person shooter on the DS will. Especially in especially the last boss, because you've run out of ammo, so you're kind of doing tight circles around the boss, trying to throw your boomerang into his mouth.
I wonder how it would play on the DSi XL, though. I wonder if that would actually help that.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder.
Might be a legit reason to upgrade to the extra large.
Dementium 2 is the killer app for the DSi XL.
They should just bundle it with the damn thing.
There you go.
Well, that's pretty cool. Like I have seen the first one around, but I've never really played either of them. But yeah, I may have to check this
one out. Don't buy the first one, but if you ever see the second one cheap, you know, pick it up because it's good.
Right on. Is the story compelling at all?
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of a first-person shooter gamer for the story mainly. Like that's kind of why I play first-person shooters, which I realize is not the right reason to play them. But like. My favorite first-person shooters aren't like Call of Duty or Halo. It's more like Half-Life and BioShock.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Yeah, I agree with that. There is a story. You're a dude in a mental hospital, and you keep warping between what appears to be the real world and kind of Pinhead world.
Ooh. Okay. Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The monsters look like something out of those movies, which is awesome. By the way, but at the you know, as you keep trudging through the game and picking up notes, which is the only way that first-person shooters know how to move stories along, picking up notes and reading postcards, you begin to wonder if maybe you're crazy and maybe you're killing people.
Wow!
And you see them as monsters, you know.
Right. Right. Huh.
And the ending is the ending's ambiguous, but kind of makes you ponder.
You officially have me interested in this game. I may have to look into it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Very cool.
Don't play it for long periods of time, or else you won't be able to hold a pencil or a fork.
Yeah, I feel that way about Picross 3D.
I still need to get that.
It's good. It's really good. So I've been playing Easy Piano for the DS. This is something that kind of arrived to the site about a month and a half ago, and we kind of like joked about it in email, and then I kind of volunteered that to do something with it, and then we kind of forgot about it for like 3 more weeks, and then one day I saw it show up in the mail and kind of just stared at it perplexed for about 20 minutes, because it
so
comes with
zipper
a with like
face,
a
Sandy, it's your zipper face.
Yeah. It comes with a keyboard. Like it comes with a like a not a full length keyboard, of course, but like an octave keyboard, and it's actually, you know, it's actually a pretty well made little keyboard. It sticks into the Game Boy slocket, the Game Boy
slocket.
I like that.
Sticks into the Game Boy slocket, and so it's only compatible with the DS and the DS Lite, and it's got the little separator thing, so it'll fit nicer into one or the other. But the software itself is basically three things. The first thing is a really terrible version of Guitar Hero that seems to have no real care for exactly how close to the rhythm of the song that you are playing.
Wii music.
As long as you hit the right key within like a half a second of when it's supposed to be hit, you're doing all right. So yeah, I was able to beat the virtuoso mode on this Guitar Hero-like game without ever having even tried it, and that's like the second of the two difficulties. So I played all the way through the first category of songs without having any difficulty whatsoever because of how poorly the game is put together. The second part of the game is a composition tool, and that basically just sort of records your keyboard as you play, and you can use the stylus to drag and drop the notes as you so please, which is pretty handy. And if you had the DSi and you really wanted to play this, you could actually still play it with the drag and drop on the stylus with the DSi, which is kind of nice. And it does a pretty good job of picking up the rhythm as you play and putting it into an actual like staff with notes and whatnot.
That's a weird tool.
It's pretty neat, and let's just say up to three-minute songs. It kind of reminds me of the Mario Paint composer, kind of, but like with the ability to record in real time, which
without Yoshi sounds.
And without Yoshi sounds. So that works pretty well. That's probably the most competent of the three components of the game. The third component of the game is a lesson mode that's supposed to teach you how to read music and play on the keyboard, but that's pretty poorly implemented. It's basically like a series of like real quick screenshots of not screenshots, but real quick like tutorial screens. You just kind of page through two or three screens for each lesson, and then they give you an activity, which may or may not have anything to do with actually learning how to read music. For instance, the first lesson is basically that there is a staff and that notes sit on the staff, which is, you know, pretty basic. But like the activity to go along with that is to notes will come across from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen on the staff, but occasionally small pieces of the lines in the staff will vanish, and you have to draw them back in with the stylus before the notes fall through.
What?
Like, that's their activity for learning music in the first lesson of this game.
I don't think that's going to teach you anything about music.
No, and it's awful because the implementation is just very poor. Like, it literally feels like it was coded in an afternoon. Some of them are better than others. One of the interesting ones is when they teach you all about chords. They basically just show you about 7 or 8 chords, and then apparently you're supposed to memorize them from the screen, because the activity is basically complete the missing note in the chord given, which is actually pretty tricky to do without like taking a music theory course, to be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, cool. Do they teach you how these chords are formed and why they're named what they are? I mean, there are
absolutely
a lot of clues.
Absolutely not. Okay. They teach you that.
So they give you a challenging exercise, but don't actually teach you what you need to know to complete it.
Yeah, basically, they tell you that sometimes you can play notes together and they'll sound good. That's the extent of their description of chords.
Terrible.
And then they say, like, complete this chord, and they'll show you the first two notes, and they ask you to put in the third one. They may actually have the third note kind of shadowed so you can see behind it, and then ask you to play it on the keyboard. I don't remember how in-depth it is, but either way, like, it kind of goes from insultingly basic to fairly complex with not enough information in about 2 lessons flat. So I wouldn't consider this an actual tool for teaching anybody how to read and play music, but I don't know. The composition piece is pretty fun. The hardware itself is actually pretty well made. I don't really feel like this game warrants a traditional game review, so my plan is to basically do a video review of this to kind of just go over what all it can do. And I've actually shot some video already, so I'm going to try to edit it together in the next few days and put it up on the site so everyone can see exactly what they're missing out on by not playing piano on their DS.
I thought your video for America's Test Kitchen was really good. And
yeah, that was cool.
So I will watch this even if the game sounds crap.
I'm hoping the sound from the game comes through in the video, because it's kind of hard to demonstrate this game if you can't hear it, but we'll see.
Sure.
But that's really all I've got to say on Easy Piano for DS. So let's move out of what you're reviewing and head on to the next segment, which is the downloads for the past couple of weeks. So we'll start with Virtual Console, because it's very, very quick to do.
Yeah.
Wild Guns for Super NES came out for 800 points. I don't know anything about this game. It's got a Western theme. That's about all I know.
I watched a video of it, and I think I might have actually played this a long time ago, but
It's from Natsumi.
Yeah, it's it's really funny looking. So it looks kind of like a Super Nintendo version of Sin and Punishment, except that you can only move side to side. Your character is not actually running forward, because obviously there's not enough 3D capability. So it ends up being more like a shooting gallery, but you've got a character on the screen who's kind of dodging left and right. So I think you use the D-pad to move the cursor around and shoot, and then you probably use the shoulder buttons to dodge left and right.
And you control a cursor on the screen, I assume? Is that what you said?
Yeah, but this, you do have a character also, so that's why
There's actually a WiiWare game that's just like this called Shootanto, Evolutionary Mayhem.
Yes, it looks just like that.
Okay. Yep. That game wasn't that much fun.
Yep. It looks just like that.
So, yeah, if you have fond memories of Wild Guns, feel free to drop $8 and download it. But I'm going to go ahead and move on quickly to WiiWare. We actually have a couple of really interesting games up for WiiWare this week. Art Style Light Tracks is probably the big hitter. This is a remake of one of the Bit Generations games, Dotstream, I believe.
Yeah.
And I looked at the trailer for this, and I haven't played it yet, but I couldn't really figure out much about it from the trailer. It looks really cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's super simple. I played Dotstream, and it's I didn't care for Dotstream. It looks like something out of Tron. It's really cool looking. It's very clean and just stark colors, black background. And then in the WiiWare version, they've added a lot more perspective shifting. So I think the gameplay is essentially the same, but the camera moves around and gives it a lot more of a dramatic, cinematic feel.
Sure.
But the gameplay is that you're basically just a line of colored light, and you're racing against other lines of different colors. And your speed is there's not really a gas pedal, I don't think. You're always moving, and you can kind of shift into different lanes, and your speed will go up if you draft on an opponent. So if you're in the lane right next to an opponent, you'll gain speed, but if you get in the same lane as an opponent, you'll lose speed. So the guy in front of you will kind of shift around and try to get in front of you to slow you down and keep you from siphoning speed off of him.
Oh, nice.
And then there's also things, if you run into the wall, you'll lose speed. There's a boost mechanic that's similar to F-Zero, I think, in that it kind of recharges over time, so there's a matter of when is the best time to use your boost. So there's definitely some strategy to it. I didn't really care for just the feel of it when I played it, and so I'm probably not going to pick up Light Tracks. I'll also say that the video of it that I just watched to prepare for the show, because I don't have a Wii right now, but the video that I watched, the music I thought was terrible. It's like five notes looping for the entire race.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same.
Yeah.
I watched the trailer on YouTube before I came in, and I had a similar thought. It doesn't sound all that appealing.
Yeah.
But the gameplay itself, I'm kind of interested in. It looks like kind of a neat, abstract kind of a game. So, yeah, I may pick this up. It's only 600 points. As it so happens, I have 700 sitting, doing nothing. So this might be the way I spend it. Hmm. Next up, Manic Monkey Mayhem from the Code Monkeys for 800 points. This looks like you throw bananas at other monkeys. It's sort of a multiplayer party game. It looks pretty awful.
It should let you throw poop at other monkeys.
maybe in the unrated version. Yeah, this looks really awful. Like, of all the games I looked at between DSi and WiiWare for this week's show, it looked like clearly the worst one. Yeah, basically, I didn't really see you do a whole lot aside from, like, throw bananas at monkeys in the distance. It looked pretty, pretty bad, so I'm not going to talk about it too much more than
that. I guarantee if they had replaced bananas with poop, they would have sold about five times as many copies. Just saying.
You're probably right. They could change their name to the Poop Monkeys Limited. That might also help their sales. Viral Survival is the next game up from NIS America, NIS. It's 500 points, and basically, like, this kind of looked like a classic game of Worm or Snake, or however you want to say it, because you're basically moving an avatar around the screen, picking up more collectibles to make your tail longer. But you didn't die from running into your tail, so I'm not exactly sure what the point is. There must be some other goal other than not run into your own tail. That's kind of what it looked like, though. But it looked like a collectathon. You have a square arena or some kind of an arena, and you're collecting things and avoiding other things. It looked pretty fast paced. The visuals looked pretty decent for a 500 point game. So that actually looked kind of intriguing.
Well, it's intriguing to me that NIS, which is Nippon Ichi Software of America, it's interesting to me that they're publishing on WiiWare now, because they're the people behind Disgaea, and I think they maybe publish Odin Sphere.
No, that was VanillaWare. No, Atlas published it, and VanillaWare developed it.
Okay, but yeah, NIS, they did the Batman. They've done some PSP games. They did the one with the penguin, whatever that's called. But yeah, they publish like a lot of really niche Japanese style games in America. And so far, I think the only thing they published on Nintendo platforms is Disgaea for DS, which I've never heard very much about. So I don't know. It's interesting they're doing WiiWare. Maybe there's more to come on that. Could be. I mean, that could turn out well. But I don't know anything about this particular game.
Well,
yeah, that's actually pretty interesting. I hadn't heard most of that, so that's cool. The next game up is Ben 10 Alien Force, The Rise of Hex. This is 1,000 points from Konami. It looks like sort of a pretty standard 2D side-scrolling action kind of game. Didn't you play one of the Ben 10 games for review, Zach?
Yeah, I did. It was
I don't know if this is anything like it or not, but it's based off like a Nickelodeon property or maybe a
Cartoon Network
property. Yeah. I don't know. It looks like a pretty standard side-scrolling action game, but it's got Konami behind it, and Konami's made pretty good versions of side-scrolling action games before, so it might be all right.
It's just it's licensed on WiiWare. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
that's true. Voodoo Dice is the next game up. This is from Ubisoft, and this game actually looked pretty cool. It's sort of like a puzzle game. You have a grid, and you're controlling a dice that rolls around on the grid, and the grid is sort of broken into various paths, and in order to get through the paths, you have to get through other dice that are just stationary sitting there with a number up top. And as you roll around the playing field, you have to get next to the obstacle dice with the same number on the top of your dice as it has. So basically, it's sort of a positioning game. You have to maneuver your character just right so that when you get next to the obstacle, the right number is showing on the top of your dice. Mm. And it's had sort of a – it's called Voodoo Dice. It's got sort of a tropical, maybe sort of a – I don't know, mystical theme. The graphics looked pretty decent. For 1,000 points, a puzzle game had better have pretty good visuals, and this one actually did look pretty good. So I may actually check this game out later. I mean, it's a puzzle game, so it's not going to go anywhere. When I'm craving a puzzle game, I'll pick it up. There may be some action element to it. I couldn't really tell from the trailer, but you are sort of rolling a little guy around in real time, so it's possible they may throw some sort of real-time action elements into the later levels.
Cool.
And then last up we have Robocalypse Beaver Defense.
Ooh.
For 600 points from Vogster Entertainment.
Nice beaver.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this game, but I have to believe, based on the title, it's a tower defense game.
It is, but I know it's sort of based on a DS game that came out last year called Robocalypse, and I heard very good things about it. Very good. Huh. And I know at the time they said that they were going to make a WiiWare version. I don't know how different it is from the DS game, but the DS game got really good reviews. And, you know, there are, at this point, there are quite a few tower defense games on DS, but Robocalypse got pretty, I don't know. It sounded good. I haven't played it. They should have put a demo up.
Yeah. I'm surprised there hasn't been any other demos of any WiiWare games since, like, that little experiment they did last year.
I'm in a DS demo.
Oh, sure, yeah, right.
But that, too.
That, too, yeah. that's all the WiiWare we got for the last couple of weeks. Let's go ahead and move on to DSiWare, which I saved for last because that's clearly where they're putting their effort. It seems like there's more DSiWare games than anything else on the service lately. They're shoving them out the door pretty quickly, it seems. First up is Metal Torrent, which is published by Nintendo. Not sure exactly who developed it, but 500 points. It's a pretty standard-looking shoot-em-up, a vertical-scrolling shoot-em-up. It looks like it has pretty impressive visuals.
Yeah.
It looked kind of like Ikaruga, but I don't think it had any of the same like absorbing alternate color fire elements that Ikaruga had. But the visual style kind of reminded me of Ikaruga, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a shoot 'em up on DSiWare, this might be a good one to go with. But I'm sure you'll have your choice because it seems like a lot of. I'm not sure about DSiWare. I know on WiiWare there's a ton of shoot 'em ups.
Ton of them on WiiWare.
Not so sure about DSiWare.
Virtual console, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say there aren't that many on WiiWare specifically, but certainly on virtual console, it's
yeah
you can't get enough. But as far as DSiWare, there aren't that many. So
This one looked good. Like, I just based on the trailer alone, like, if I was having a craving for that kind of game, which is a rare craving for me at least, I might actually go with this one. It looks pretty nice.
Yeah, and it's published by Nintendo for whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
Club Nintendo points.
Yeah. Next up is World Poker Tour Texas Hold'em. It's the official World Poker Tour licensed Texas Hold'em game. For what that's worth, it's from Hands On Mobile, 500 points. I don't know if there's any other Texas Hold'em games out for DSiWare, but I've got to believe there is.
Yeah, I think so.
I think there's probably several, actually.
Yeah.
If you're in the market for a Texas Hold'em game, have fun.
Apparently, I guess a lot of people are. They keep making them.
Keep making them, yeah. This Solitaire and Sudoku.
Hold'em's a good game, I gotta say.
Yeah, Hold'em's a lot of fun. I actually had a World Poker Championship for DS once upon a time, a long time ago. It's one of those games I got shortly after I got my DS because I wanted something to play on it. But
see,
still,
maybe
it was kind of fun.
This might be a tangent for you guys, so stop me if you don't care. But I feel that poker as a game is only fun if, number one, you're playing against other people because it's a social game.
Sure, that's true, yeah.
And number two, if there's money on the line. Because as a game, I don't think it's that much fun on its own merits. But when you raise the stakes by involving money, especially with bets against other people, then it's a lot more interesting. I've played video poker at a casino, and it's tolerable because of the stakes involved. But it still doesn't have that social aspect. And when you put it on a console or a handheld or a damn cell phone, and you don't have either of those things, I don't get the appeal. I really don't.
It's practice more than anything else. It allows you to get better at, I don't know, reading what kinds of hands you want to play, which kind of hands you don't.
I feel like it's one step above Deal or No Deal for DS.
This may be even a further tangent than your tangent, but I actually find the Deal or No Deal arcade game for tickets quite entertaining.
Well, you've got stakes there.
But yeah, once again, you've got stakes there. No, I totally agree. Like, I like poker, but I don't play with people very often. And when I do, I love it. I get a real kick out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I totally agree. I think you are very much correct, sir.
Poker face.
There's a camera on the damn.
There
thing.
Is so a camera on have the thing.
A real,
yeah.
a more realistic poker simulation. Maybe they could require the camera be on. It's like chat roulette on DSi.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking.
That's
we just designed a much more interesting game than Texas Hold'em for DSiWare.
That's too many points at any price. next up, we have Real Crimes Jack the Ripper from Virtual Playground. This one's 800 points. It's sort of just kind of like a scan the environment for clues kind of a game. It's almost like a mix between a puzzle game and an adventure game, because basically you're just looking at a picture, trying to find things to click on, to add to your inventory.
Phoenix Wright games without the good stuff.
Kind of like Myst without all of the puzzle solving, I think, to be honest. But it's based off of the actual Jack the Ripper case, so there's a little bit of history involved there. The graphics looked pretty decent. For 800 points on a DSiWare game, honestly, they'd better.
Well, it's a pixel hunt, so the graphics have to be decent or it's unplayable.
Sure. Yeah, that's a fair point as well. If you're interested in a picture-hunting history lesson, have fun. next up is Advanced Circuits from BIP Media.
What?
200 points. This game looks pretty awful. It looks kind of like
does it teach you circuits though? Because
I think it's more like that kind of gameplay where you have the pipe dream sort of gameplay where you have to like just complete a path through a maze in the correct amount of time using preset pieces. That's kind of how
BioShock.
I interpret this gameplay.
Yeah,
it's like hacking in BioShock. It looks really awful. It had a very juvenile sort of art style. I don't know. Next up is Escape. This is a Q Games game, if I'm not mistaken. It's published by Nintendo for 800 points. This one actually looks really interesting. It's sort of a first-person tank radar sort of thing. Some parts of it look kind of fast-paced, or like going through a tunnel, and you're firing off at obstacles in the distance. But it's got a real sort of almost like a Vectrex kind of style to it.
Yeah, Battle
like
a Vector Zone.
Game kind of style. Yeah, hmm. Battle Zone. Thanks.
Or the original really Star cool. Fox.
Yeah, that too. It actually like some of the levels kind of reminded me of an old arcade game I used to like called T-Mech. I don't think it plays anything like it, but this is sort of like an outdoor arena with a whole bunch of like tanks firing at each other. Looked really cool. I think this game could actually be a lot of fun for yeah. those of you with DSIs out there. I don't know if it's multiplayer or not. I didn't check to see if it was multiplayer, but I kind of get the impression maybe it could be. But I don't know. Sort of like two players in a battle zone kind of arena fighting each other. That'd be kind of neat.
There can be only one.
There can be only one. Next up is Hero of Sparta for 800 points. This one's from Gameloft. It's basically it started as a God of War clone on the yeah. iPhone. Now it's well, a low res version. Now it's a low res version of a God of War clone on the DSi.
awesome.
Yeah, it doesn't. The trailer doesn't make it look awesome. But if you are craving God of War style gameplay on a handheld, this will probably get the job done for the time being.
Or you could go just buy the God of War game on PSP.
That's another fantastic way to achieve that exact gameplay experience. Yeah, Hero of Sparta. Gameloft seems to have a lot of games already out on iPhone. They're bringing them slowly one by one over to the DSi service. So, yeah, fantastic. Next up is A Topsy-Turvy Life, The Turvies Strike Back for 200 points from Tecmo Koei? I never know how to pronounce that.
Yeah, something.
Tecmo Koei. This game is actually pretty interesting. They released a sort of a maybe like a variation on it a couple weeks back called a Topsy Turvy Life, Topsy Turvy. I don't know. Maybe it was just called a Topsy Turvy Life. But basically, the idea was you turn your DS upside down and you draw things on the top screen
right, yeah.
to fall to the bottom screen. And this particular game actually it's a vertical shooter. But instead of controlling the good guy, you control the bad guys. And basically, you just drop ships on the top screen to fire down below at the computer-controlled hero of the game, so to speak. Which is actually kind of a really interesting twist on the shmup. And the really cool thing is you can actually do a two-player mode on one DS where one player uses the controls upside down to control the hero on the bottom screen, and then the other player drops the ships above on the touchscreen.
It's a schmud.
It's a. It looks really cool. Like I gotta admit, like if I had someone interested in playing a DS upside down near me, and I had the game, I would totally make them play it. I'm not sure exactly how practical it is, but
how practical is Photo Dojo? I mean,
well,
really,
that's a fair point.
Photo Dojo is excellent in kind of drunken hotel room after the wedding parties.
the production value on Turvy Strike Back looks pretty low, so I think that explains a 200 point price. So it's kind of a cool idea with sort of a budget production on it, but if you're interested in checking out something a little different on DSiWare, this might suit your needs. The last game up for release is, of course, a Sudoku game. Telegraph, Sudoku, and Kuroku, which is sort of the number-based version of Sudoku. You add up numbers to fill in a grid.
Is that 3D. What Sudoku's about?
No, that's Kuroku. It's the Japanese friend of Sudoku, I guess. I don't know. It's the 17,000th Sudoku game to hit DSiWare. If you haven't already bought one, it's because you just got a DSi, so maybe get this one. Or maybe
you realize that Sudoku is not a good video game.
You know, you can also buy Sudoku at the store for like a dollar.
Brain Age has a fantastic Sudoku already in it. So yep, if you already have Brain Age, and most people have at some point owned Brain Age, then just play it there. Or get Picross. Picross is so much better.
I've been telling people for years not to buy Sudoku video games because you can go to a gas station and buy a $5 book with 100 puzzles in it. That is a much better value, and you can, you know, it's real paper. It's better.
Yeah.
Kids today don't know what paper is.
Yes, the DS is good for a lot of things. Sudoku is not one of them.
I'm just saying, like, if you want a grid-based puzzle, get Picross or Picross 3D. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're more money, but they're better games. So, that's all the downloads we got for this last couple of weeks. Not a fantastic lineup, but it's serviceable. Hopefully with E3 around the corner, they'll throw some heavy hitters at us like, oh, I don't know, Shantae. I don't know. I can't think of any other major DSiWare games on the horizon. Or, I'm sorry, WiiWare games on the horizon.
They'll have Facebook integration on your Wii.
Oh, thank God.
Nobody will care.
That might actually happen. But
I'll bet it will happen. And you'll be able to share the pictures you upload from your DSi to your Wii.
Well, you don't need the times I was... You can already do that, though.
I know, you can on Facebook, but this will be another way to do it.
One of the times I was on RFN some like 5 or 6 months ago, the idea was tossed out to have Nintendo outsource their entire network infrastructure to Facebook.
Oh, yes, so, I like that idea.
That would be like fantastic. And if they were to do that, I would probably shit myself. But I'm not going to hold my breath. That would be such a great idea, though. Seriously, it would absolve them of all of the legal problems that they fear with online communication because they just let someone else take the heat for it.
Yeah.
Oh,
God, that'd be so awesome. Anyway, last up this week, we have our retail releases. There's not much to talk about. We basically have two games on the list. The first up is Dawn of Heroes, which is sort of a... I'm not sure if it's a strategy RPG or a regular RPG, but it's sort of a classic medieval-based... RPG. I'm sure James will be reviewing it.
And I'll be pressing skip on RFN.
The other game for release this week is Tetris Party Deluxe. It's from Hudson, but I'm fairly certain it's got a pretty heavy handprint from Nintendo on it, especially with the Mii integration, which I assume is only on the Wii version. But
but that's kind of already curious. In the WiiWare version. Well.
Yeah, very curious to see exactly how this one differs from the one already released on WiiWare. I believe I'm signed up for the review, so maybe I will find out myself shortly here in the future.
Yeah, the WiiWare version is pretty full-featured already. For $12, 1,200 points. So
yeah,
I don't really see what they could add to a disc version that would make it worth spending $30 on. I think this is probably more to cater to people who don't know how to hook up their Wii to the internet.
I'm sure it is, yeah.
Well, what makes this interesting to me is that they already have a DS game on or a Tetris game on DS, and they've let it lapse. I don't think the game is being published anymore.
It had a short run. Which is really sad, because I'd buy it the second I saw it in the store, I'd buy that game.
It's a fantastic Tetris game. Like,
I never liked it.
Better... You didn't like it?
No.
Really?
I owned it and traded it back into GameStop. Tetris DS.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish I kept it
so I could sell it on eBay.
No Tetris game has tickled my Tetris bone the way the old NES game did with the bubble blocks.
Yeah, Tetris DS... There was something about it that, I don't know, it was almost, and actually I feel this way about Tetris Party as well, which I have on WiiWare. It's just Tetris. Like, I know what it is, but Tetris is not a game I want to go back to all the time. I mean, it's a game that if you threw a controller in my hands and said, here, play Tetris, I could probably sit down for an hour and play Tetris. But, you know, in my DS or my... you know, on my SD card channel, I've got so many other games that I could be playing, and
sure.
Tetris is just not, it's just not something I'm going to jump into at random like that. I don't know. I just don't, I mean, I love Tetris, but I don't have that much affinity for it.
Is
so,
it a good party
know.
Game?
Tetris Party? It's just,
yeah.
It has a lot of party features, but are you really going to have a party and say, hey, who wants to play Tetris?
Like, I guess my thing with Tetris is, like, it kind of reminds me of New Mario Wii in that anyone can pick up and play it. Like, it doesn't require any real, like, barrier. There's no barrier of entry with Tetris because everyone's played it before. So I think that's one of the ways it does succeed as a party game is that you can put a controller in anyone's hand and say, play Tetris, and they know exactly what to do. The problem is they throw, like, items and stuff in there, which is kind of neat. But also means that anybody who's played Tetris before doesn't immediately know what's going on with
that. I think
that.
You and can even, turn those off.
Even like the hold mechanism, like trying to explain to people that they can hold a Tetris piece for later seems to be a fairly daunting task for like most people who have just played it like on the original Game Boy or whatever.
I know Tetris Party on WiiWare has pretty good options for turning features on and off.
Sure. I actually thought the Tetris DS for the DS Tetris DS for the DS. I thought Tetris DS was actually a really well-made Tetris game. Like, yeah, you're right. It is Tetris and nothing more.
It's well put together. I think, you know, some of the wacky modes that they tried to create for it aren't that much fun to play.
No, I agree.
I appreciate that they're trying to do something new, but really, I guess what I would prefer is instead of a $30 Tetris game with a lot of new features, I'd rather have like a $1 Tetris game that I can just play when the rare occasion happens that I feel like playing Tetris. I'd rather have a cheap version of it that's accessible. So
sure, that's understandable. My only question with this game is why did they make a game, let it sort of fall into obscurity, and then just make another one? Like, I understand that they kind of, like, made the WiiWare version, and now they're porting it to Wii and DS retail, but...
2 years later.
It seems weird that they would make the game... I mean, you know how these long-tail games work for DS. I mean, Mario Kart, New Mario Wii, these are all really old games that continue to sell. So why do they make Tetris and then forget about it?
Yeah.
That's always confused me. And now they're just going to, I guess, fix the problem by making another version of it, which seems bizarre. I don't know. It kind of makes Tetris DS sort of a relic, I guess. But it's a relic that I have, so I'll treasure it, I guess. It's a bizarre turn of events, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's coming out, and I guess I'll get to figure out how it stacks up to Tetris DS here fairly shortly, because I think I'm on the review.
I guess so.
So anyway, that's all the releases, Dawn of Heroes and Tetris Party Deluxe. So if that strikes your fancy, then you are having a great week. My guess is it doesn't, because it's sort of a weak lineup. But with E3 around the corner, like I said earlier, hopefully we'll see some new cool stuff coming out shortly. I know Lego Harry Potter is coming out in June, so I will be playing that for review as well.
Sin and Punishment 2.
Sin and Punishment 2, of course.
Oh.
That's coming out later this month. So yeah, there is some stuff coming out. I don't know how exciting it is, but... we're still sort of a good few months away from the fall, which usually brings a couple of good games and Madden season, so to speak. Is it Tiger Woods a summer game?
Yeah,
I was thinking it was. Yeah,
I think it's usually July or August. Well, I think it's usually July.
Cool.
Right.
So this year is going to be called Tiger Woods Repentance Edition.
Oh, boy. Anyway, that's all we got for you this week on NWR Newscast. Hopefully, I'm not sure if this is a shorter episode or not. It was supposed to be, but thanks for tuning in. You can always follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/NWR Newscast. Email us at newscast@NintendoWorldReport.com. We had someone say that their email was bouncing, but we've tested it, and it seems to be working fine internally. So if you're still having problems emailing us, feel free to post in the TalkBack thread. And
check your spelling.
Yeah, check your spelling. but yeah, that's all we got. So thanks for tuning in to the episode this week, and we'll see you at E3.
Woo!
Oh, thanks for
having
me. By,
Johnny.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, good time.
All right. Night, everyone.
Bye.
I'm recording again. All right. Yeah, that's fine.
Should I restart?
No, that's fine. I can clip it.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we going to
go ahead and do this? Yeah, I'll clap. Clap on zero.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Zip. Sorry, I fucked up. I said zero. I got distracted. My,
this
my
is like Wayne's World.
Up.
You know, you're supposed to. The two and the one are silent.
I think I just made a stinger. All right. 3, 2, 1.